We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
IB Nation, welcome back to another edition of the Irish Breakdown Podcast. I'm Brian Driscoll. Y'all know me, but I don't know if enough of you know who this guy is. That is Bill Bender, the lead college football writer for Sporting News, also hosts a weekly podcast at CFB Nation. You could check that out. Bill is going to join me for segment one today. We're going to have three different topics today. We're going to talk about Jordan Faison, who is one of the most unique athletes in college football right now. We are going to talk about Notre Dame's big scrimmage this weekend and what I'm looking to see from that. And then I'm going to wrap up. And as I talked about the segment, Bill knew exactly what I was talking about, what my third segment was going to be before I even told him. It was the post that came out from College Football Headquarters, which is part of Fan Nation and Sports Illustrated, which is what we're a part of, Irish Breakdown's website, about the top 10 programs all time. And there were a couple that I think are debatable. There are two that I think are not debatable, and I'll dive into those during that segment of the show. But Bill, you're joining me today, which I greatly appreciate, because you had a very awesome piece today. I got to admit, I'm not just saying that. You had a great piece today. I wouldn't have asked you on if I didn't think it was a great piece, about Jordan Faison, Notre Dame's standout wide receiver, but also one of the best freshman lacrosse players in the country and is a starter on Notre Dame's number one ranked lacrosse team, who had a huge road win this week over Duke. I actually watched that, Bill. You'd be proud of me, man. I'm actually watching more lacrosse now. Notre Dame had a big lead. Duke came back and tied it. Notre Dame pulled back ahead, and Jordan Faison is a part of that, along with the Cavanaughs, and apparently one of the best goalies in all of lacrosse. I'm just saying what people tell me. I don't know that. But, Bill, you had a chance as you were putting this article together to talk to both Marcus Freeman and Kevin Corrigan about Jordan Faison. And I just want to kind of start off with that a little bit, just about kind of big picture, what you learned about this young man. What made you want to talk, first of all, what made you want to talk about Jordan Faison? Like, where did it come from? Like, hey, let me write a feature about Jordan Faison, who's a rising sophomore wide receiver on the football team and a true freshman standout on lacrosse.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, I think right there, two sport athlete, and as you know, and our listeners know, on Bill Troche and I's podcast, I talk a lot about my kids. Grant's a seventh grade lacrosse player who played football, and my daughter Bella is a midfielder. So I've learned the game of lacrosse in the last 5 years. And to see a player like Jordan, who he steps onto Notre Dame's football field as a freshman and as a slot receiver in the Louisville game, and that's impressive on its own. It's hard to play as a freshman receiver. But then when you turn the conversation to, all right, he's a starting midfielder on the best lacrosse team in the country. One with the, like, as you mentioned, the Cavanaughs are record setters, legacy players at Notre Dame. Liam Entman is the best goalie in the country. He may be the best goalie on the planet. And that is saying something. So for him to come on and be not just a bit player, but a major contributor on this team, that struck my curiosity and how they do that. And, you know, we live in the age of specialization, and to have an athlete be able to play two sports at this level always gets my attention. I think the lacrosse football combo should be more.
Yes.
Because it's a natural transition sport.
It really is. And when you talk about the time in which they're played, you know, spring versus fall in college, when you talk about, there's a lot of similar crossover athletically. You know, there's speed, there's agility, there's toughness, there's physicality. You've got to have a level of mental toughness in lacrosse, because in other sports, I mean, let's just be honest, Bill, there's some sports that are great sports, but they just don't have the same physical style of play. You have to have a different mindset. There's guys that are great at some sport, but you put pads on them and say, let's go play, do some bang bang. And they're like, nah, I'm good. I'm going to stay over here in my non-contact sport. And, you know, so I agree with you that there should be a lot of crossover. You know, Tyler Buchner, who played quarterback in Notre Dame, was also once a big-time lacrosse recruit. He's on that team now, too, right. But he's kind of gone back to it. But he was originally committed to Michigan as an eighth grader to play lacrosse. So I agree with you. I think we'll see more of that. There are some reasons why I don't think we see as much of it now, which we can get into. Some socioeconomic reasons why that I think are, from what I've been told, are starting to kind of, you know, change a little bit, you know, so that's good. But let's talk.
Go ahead, Bill. No, I was just going to say one of the things there, for people that don't, that just pop on lacrosse and don't know what's going on, I would draw this comparison with Jordan Faison. He plays a slot receiver, which is hard. What does the slot receiver do? You have to get open in short space. You're a quick read receiver. He's very good route runner. Then he becomes a midfielder on a lacrosse field. These are the guys that, for hockey people, they can run the entire field. That is extremely hard to do, to play a position where you have to run the entire field. Now, they'll pull guys off on defense, but he's become a better defensive midfielder. There was one play in the Ohio State game I went to where he was basically trying to shield a 6'6" guy from scoring, which the comparison would be playing corner in the red zone on a 6'4" receiver, right? Where you're just trying not to let him get separation. So his athletic ability is incredible.
Well, and Bill, you talked about Notre Dame's ranked number one. They're the defending national champions. They have a lot coming back from last year's national championship team. And he's been able to carve out a key role. And, you know, you kind of talk about that, you know, lacrosse versus football aspect of it. One other part for him specifically, one time in college, I picked up a lacrosse stick and tried to catch it. It is not an easy thing to do. There's a level of hand-eye coordination that's required of that position that, again, also to me, now catching is a whole lot different than a stick, but it's the hand-eye coordination, the timing, the ability to track that little ball. I mean, when I was a receivers coach, one thing we do is I'd take tennis balls and I would have players focus on it, because part of it is, and then when I'm talking about, you know, catching the football, it's like you don't look at the ball, you look at the little cross, because you're zeroing in on something small to be able to catch it. And so I think there's a lot of parallels as a former receivers coach and what I teach receivers about, but also the natural hand-eye coordination needed to be able and to do it on the run. Bill, I couldn't do it standing in the parking lot of the apartment building we lived in. I couldn't imagine doing it on the run. And so I think it's that part of the carryover is very interesting as well for a player like him.
Well, in my adulthood, and like I said, having Grant be a goalie where I have to shoot on him to work him out, I have learned in my late 30s and early 40s how to catch a lacrosse ball with a stick over the shoulder. It is. And I played receiver in high school, so the lacrosse part is harder by a lot. It just is, because you're running full speed. Now, one of the things Marcus Freeman was talking about is, one, I found this funny. I asked him, did you know anything about lacrosse before you came to Notre Dame? He said, absolutely zero. But he's starting to learn because he has these players on the lacrosse team. And he did even say, he said, with Jordan, what you're seeing is, you just said it, Brian, as a former receivers coach, his stick work, and they call it stick work and handling a lacrosse ball, that's catching up to his athleticism. And that makes him a very scary lacrosse player when you think about that he's still learning some things there. And what impressed me was the overabundance of cooperation between Kevin Corrigan, a legendary lacrosse coach. Like when you talk to, I told some lacrosse guys around here, Brian, that I talked to Kevin Corrigan, they were like in awe. What was it like? Can I touch your phone? Wow. And then Marcus Freeman, and how have they cooperated to come up with a plan to allow Jordan Faison to play both of these sports at a high level? I'm looking at a guy that in a couple of years, you're going to be, okay, is it going to be NFL draft or PLL? And that's entirely possible with him, which is wild and awesome.
Well, the backstory there that's interesting, Bill, you know, we had Jordan on our National Signing Day show, because when we watched him in high school, he didn't play wide receiver in high school. Mm-hmm. We played like quarterback and some other things, but we could see the athleticism. And we're like, we had him and Luke Talich both on our signing day show. They were walk-ons. They're now both on scholarship for football. But there was always a thought that, hey, I think this kid can help them down the road. The fact that he was able to make an impact so quickly is the thing that really surprised me. And you talked about, he got on the field in games against Louisville. That was game 7. He didn't play a single snap before that because he couldn't. And then, of course, it came down to where they needed him to play. He ends up catching 19 passes for 322 yards and four touchdowns in the last seven games. And that includes a five-catch, 115-yard touchdown and one touchdown performance in the bowl win over Oregon State. And so the minute he stepped foot on the field against Louisville, he was a scholarship athlete on the football program. So that's very fascinating. So, but you're talking about a kid that I'd love to know from him, what is your top sport? Because Notre Dame has another kid in his class who's a two-way guy as well, and Drake Bowen, who's going to be starting middle linebacker next year, but also on the baseball team. Well, Drake doesn't really play baseball. Drake loves baseball, but Drake's been very clear, football is my number one sport, right? And so all his when there's a conflict, it's football. Well, with Jordan, it's a completely different animal because he's such a dynamic lacrosse player. So what I'm curious about, Bill, is just to kind of get into some of the specifics of what the coaches did tell you about how that process works and how Jordan, is, because he obviously wants to be a successful football player, but he also wants to be a successful lacrosse player. And that's a little bit different than, we'd have to go back to the Jeff Samarges and the, the Cole Kmets and some of those guys that have been actually very Pat Connaughton for basketball and baseball that have actually been not just play two sports, but they're very good in multiple sports. So what was some of those conversations like with those coaches?
Yeah, it was great. First of all, Marcus had that conversation, and it was about having that talk with Jordan about what does he want. So they were planning out the spring, where obviously you're in spring practice with a new offensive coordinator. And, from a time, one of the fascinating things Marcus told me was, okay, just because he doesn't have lacrosse that day doesn't mean we want him to go full go in football. Because you don't want a kid to burn out. He has class. I even asked Jordan, when do you sleep? Because I try, and then you go take it from the lacrosse side, where I don't know that anybody, and I don't know that Kevin Corrigan anticipated that Jordan Faison would step in day one and be this good, have a hat trick in his first game. That's really hard to do. And the other part that they brought up was Jordan played no fall lacrosse, no winter lacrosse. He basically started training with the team. I took a week off after the Sun Bowl, and then he's playing with the team. As somebody that has a kid playing this sport, that's unbelievable to me. That's more unbelievable than stepping onto the field in Louisville halfway through the season and doing what he did. It's incredible that he's able to come in and contribute like that at that level. But then just the plan of the reps, like he'll go to spring practice and have mental reps and still watch and still be able to do that. But again, the thing that stood out is the cooperation. You've been on college campuses where, you're thinking about Notre Dame. This is a top 10 football program next year, going to be in the hunt for the national title in the playoff. And then it's a lacrosse program that's probably favored in some ways to win the national title. And to have these coaches work together instead of being adversarial, it really stood out to me, because it sounds like they're in constant communication and it's working out really well.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think part of that is, number one, Marcus Freeman has shown since he's been here a great respect for the other sports on campus. And if you're going to sit there and be at all these games and talk about how we want to support all these schools, and then all of a sudden you've got this really great lacrosse player, but you're going to be like, nope, he's a scholarship football player now. Football needs to be his number one priority. A lot of that goodwill kind of goes out the window. I mean, and that's a big part of it too. So I kudos to Coach Freeman for having the foresight to do that. But from what I've been told, talking to different parents and stuff, they've been fully supportive of these kids that are going to play both sports during the recruiting process. And then it carries out while they're here. We talked about that with Drake Bowen, and these guys haven't been alone. So I'm glad to hear that. And I'm actually surprised, because I know just my experiences as a college coach, but also as a player, I went to Salisbury University. Right. And if you're a lacrosse player, you know, the head coach is winning championships now. There was the head coach when I was in college winning national championships. You know what I mean? And we didn't get along all that well. The two sports didn't really get along all that well.
Right.
And so I'm glad to see that. But I just thought it's been cool to watch, you know, when Jordan's out there playing, you've got the Notre Dame football team over on the sideline. Did you get into any of that kind of stuff about that with those guys?
Yeah, they said so they came to the Maryland game, and that's when in lacrosse lingo, it's called a BTB, which is a behind the back shot, which Jordan did in the game. And again, these are, I can't describe how hard and difficult this is to run across the middle. So run across the middle, catch the ball with your stick, throw it behind your back really fast behind who was probably one of the nation's best goalies in that Maryland has. And he pointed to the football team. I was joking that you watch a clip and it looks like the football team needs their own get back coach, because they half of them wanted to run on the field, I think, and celebrate with him. And I thought that was awesome. At the Ohio State game I attended, he had a big goal in the big moment. It was a one goal game. I'll say this. There was a record crowd at Ohio State's lacrosse stadium. It's a growing sport here in the Midwest, in Ohio and Michigan, and obviously Notre Dame, there's a tradition there. But record crowd, windy game, really getting chippy. One goal, Ohio State cuts it to one goal. Jordan takes it down the alley, dodges, ropes one in the right corner, and listen to all this lacrosse lingo I got for you, Brian. You're learning right now. And two-goal game. And it was – Amazing to see, and it really cool to see.
I mean, Bill, you might as well be speaking Chinese. I'm just not. Oh yeah, sure.
Sounds I hope great. Kevin Corrigan's impressed that I know these terms like X and alley and those kind of things. But point being, the one thing they both said is the moment's not too big for him. Like, one of the things that stood out that Marcus said too was, if you'd have told me at the beginning of the year that Jordan Faison would be the Sun Bowl MVP, I probably wouldn't have believed you. But once we put him in, I'd said, yeah, that makes sense. So great athlete, great kid, seems to be able to handle it. Just wants to – I love it because, like I said, having kids that play multiple sports, it's not one or the other, and he's able to pull it off. And I know they special – you know this now, Brian. They specialize kids at age 10 now. And mm-hmm. I won't do that with mine. I want him to have a chance. I'm glad you brought up Jeff Samardzija. I think he's one of my all-time favorite Notre Dame athletes because he was able to do both.
Well, and I've said this before on my show, Bill. I encourage all parents, if your children, I would even if they don't want to play multiple sports, especially when they're younger, if they're going to play sports, have them play as many as – find something. I don't care if it's gymnastics. I don't care. You know, when you're not in football, I don't care if it's gymnastics, soccer, lacrosse. I don't care. But play multiple sports. There's so many things that you can develop, not just your physical skill sets, but also just your personality gets developed. You know how to interact with other young people, with coaches. I think there's so many benefits. And then we've read a lot of scientific research I've seen recently shows that these things benefit young people physically as well and socially and those type of things. So I would always encourage parents, you know, have your kids be active. I mean, I grew up in a home where my parents made me try lots of things. They made me try piano. They made me try playing, you know, I had to join the band in the fifth grade. I actually liked that, was in the band from the fifth, eighth grade, played saxophone. They made me take a couple years of piano lessons. I had to try gymnastics for a year. You know, I mean, it's just find something you love. And if you don't know if you don't love it, if you don't ever get experience with it, you know, if you're not subjected to it, you may, like my little niece Layla, they made her take dance. She loved it. Next thing you know, a couple years later, she's at competitions with high school girls, you know, as a 8-9-year-old, you know what I mean? That type of thing. And so I always encourage that. So I'm glad to hear that you do that. And with Jordan and his younger brother, Dylan, it was the first commitment to Notre Dame in the 2026 class. And obviously you're not going to be able to talk to the coaches about Dylan, but it's one of those things where you might see more of these kids try that, because Notre Dame's had some football players recently that have been good lacrosse players. And so I wonder, Bill, and I'm thinking out loud and I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. If Jordan Faison's able to really be successful at both and continue building on what he's done as a freshman. Does this kind of serve as sort of a, because it is Notre Dame, does this serve as sort of maybe a bit of a kick in the door down type of moment for more young kids that maybe do like playing both sports? Hey, you know what? I can do this. Or maybe more parents are willing to allow their children to do both and say, hey, maybe we don't need to do this specialized thing. Do you think there could be some impact like that, Bill, just in your opinion?
I hope so. I mean, I know from our experience at the, like I said, our boys are in junior high now. And one of the cool parts about that is our boys that do the summer travel part, right? That we're playing against each other now. And the dads are friends. It's not like one of those sidelines where I was like, I don't like those people over there. I was like, wait, I actually spend the summer with those guys down there, so I better go say hi. I think Jordan is going to inspire a little bit of this. I mean, you can start straight at the top. Jim Brown was one of the best lacrosse players and football players ever. And apparently, like you talk about his Syracuse lacrosse days, they were amazing. So You've got a guy, like I said, I'm surprised there aren't more Chris Hogans. I'm surprised there aren't more Patrick Kearney's who played defensive end for Seattle.
I didn't know that Kearney played. He played at Virginia? He played lacrosse at Virginia?
Virginia Tech for 2 years. He was a D-pole, which is a defensive guy.
That's a big dude. I couldn't imagine going up against him in lacrosse.
And you learn, and I've found with our teams, the kids that play football, it's just a natural. Now, my kid, Grant, he's a goalie, so you have to be a different level of there's so many words I could put here that I can't say on the air, like that he does. To be able to be a goalie, you're just a little bit different breed. But a lot of the best athletes that we see out there are quarterbacks and defensive ends and, you know, receivers. Like, so I'm stunned we don't see more. I think Jordan will put some spotlight on that, especially as we get into the NCAA tournament, where you're going to see this story pop up a little bit, where you'll be like, hey, that dude in the green cleats, oh, by the way, he's a great slot receiver too.
Bill, I'm going to kind of ask you this. When you got into the conversations with the coaches, did either of them kind of talk about what the expectations are at Jordan? Hey, if you want to maintain being able to play both, are there some other expectations? Like, you got to make sure you're, you know, handling your academic work. Did they get it? Did you get into any of that with any of them saying, hey, if you're going to do this, we got to make sure that you're doing all the right things in this regard.
Again, it was in reverse. Like Marcus wasn't talking about what he needed to do from the football standpoint. He was saying, this is what he needs to do on the lacrosse side. And then Kevin, like, when do you ever think Kevin Corrigan would say, well, we really need him to be at football because they have a new offensive coordinator and I don't want him to fall behind. And I'm thinking, wait, you're the coach. So when I was transcribing this, I was like, wait a minute, you're the coach of that team. So you're not, but point being.
But it speaks a lot about the relationship that you talked about, though, Bill.
Yeah. So they're working together. And as he gets, I think it'll get serious for him here in 2 years because, you know, the NFL draft, if he works into that role where he could be a slot receiver in the NFL versus you could be an attack guy for the PLL, which for your listeners who don't know, the Professional Lacrosse League is more of a barnstorming type deal right now where they have teams, but they essentially in the summer, they will travel from city to city. So they'll come to Columbus and all eight teams will play over 2 days. And then they go to Minneapolis, then they go to Louisville. So you get it. But that game is growing. So is he going to be a star in that league? Interesting. Could he do both? I don't think he could do both at that level once you get into the pros. But, you know, you're talking to a kid that, you know, I try to explain to Grant and his buddies what Bo Jackson is, and they still don't believe me.
Right. Yeah, that'll be – well, and because football season is – you have the mini camps that start so much sooner now, it could end up being a little bit harder to do that. But Bo Jackson could kind of say, hey, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and you're going to like it. And like, oh, okay, Bo, whatever you say, you know, and Deion was kind of that way too. Well, last thing, Bill, obviously from a football standpoint, Jordan Faison's in an interesting situation because that's a position when you guys have previewed Notre Dame this spring at CFB Nation. That's a position where if you look at Notre Dame, you know, Riley Leonard, we know what he can do, even if he just repeats what he's done in the past. And the offensive line's talented and unproven. You got Mitchell Evans. The receiver position could be the one that says how well this position develops is going to go a long way towards telling us, you know, what this team is going to be. So That's an interesting aspect of this too, because Marcus could get very like, hey guys, we really need this guy. Like this is a huge part of we're going to be success. You know, we really need this guy.
Well, Great House was one guy that popped for me right off the go last year, and he's going to have a more increased role. Bo Collins, I'm sure you guys have talked about him.
Oh, yeah.
He had moments at Clemson. He steps in. They're pretty deep at that position.
They are now. Well, there's definitely a lot of bodies and a lot of potential. These guys haven't done it at Notre Dame. Chris Mitchell with a 1,000-yard season at Florida International last year. Jaden Harrison was a first-team All-American kick returner at Marshall last year. You know, but like you said, when Bo Collins was healthy and they were using him correctly, he's a pretty good football player. So it is going to be fascinating. But I also think that that's the other part of it, though, too, is because they do feel comfortable that we have all these other guys that will be able to fit Jordan back in. And let's not forget, Jordan wasn't part of the spring last year either. He was still in high school playing lacrosse, and he was just fine. You know, he had to learn a new offense last summer in fall camp as well, and he was just fine. So I think that probably helps Marcus Freeman too. Hey, we didn't have this kid last spring, and he was just fine. He was fine.
Great route runner.
The offense. He's a smart kid. Exactly. He knows what he's doing. He'll be fine this year. Because it's not like he's hanging out, eating Cheetos, you know, in the dorm. I mean, kid's playing lacrosse for the number one lacrosse team. He's going to be in great shape.
Right.
You know, and he can get on his tablet and look at the plays and all that kind of stuff as well. So it's just so much different nowadays. There's so much of that stuff available to these young people as well.
And I can't wait to see what he does next year with this offense. As Marcus said in the story, you know, he's a playmaker, and you find ways to get your playmakers the ball. And I think and I'm not a college route running expert, but the one that he ran against Oregon State to score the touchdown.
Yeah.
Or like a smash in the middle of the field. And cuts out. That is very similar to some of the movements on a lacrosse field when you have cut open and only you're running with a lacrosse stick and then you're trying to throw it 70 miles an hour to goalie. But it is a great story. I think it is going to pick
There's more freedom of movement for the receiver because they don't have the stick, right? That's the thing is they can use their upper body as sort of a mechanism to manipulate the receiver. But yes, it's sudden change of direction and finding space, working free. Yep. I mean, I just described which sport, Bill. Which one was I talking about?
Either one.
Exactly.
You know, and NBA, basketball, you could say even. But so I'm looking forward to watching him. And like I said, I think this storyline will pick up a little bit when the Irish get in the tournament. It'll probably pick up on the spring game weekend, which, by the way, their spring game coincides. I referenced this in the story that Notre Dame's spring game follows Notre Dame's home game against North Carolina, another really good opponent in lacrosse. So I was like, can he score two goals in the spring in the North Carolina game and then just run over to the spring game and run a route or two?
I would honestly listen, because spring game's supposed to be fun.
Right.
I would honestly I would almost set it up that way. I pull a WWE and we're just going to have it happen. You know, we're going to have him come over and we're going to throw a slot fade. We're going to tell the nickel defender, hey, man, you know, let Jordan catch this one just for the storyline.
Yeah,
you know, just to kind of from a promotion standpoint. You know what I mean? Like, why not? Yeah. They put Lewis Nix at quarterback and let him score a touchdown. You know what I mean? Like, that's what the spring games are kind of for.
Remember what UCF did last year with Plumlee was he went off. Literally went off the baseball field over to the spring game. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a tremendous promotional opportunity for Notre Dame. Coach Corrigan's very no nonsense, right? Like, but I think, so is Marcus, those guys, but there is a small opportunity for a nice little promotion there. And if they do that, we can say, Brian, that you and I thought that up and we were way
ahead
of it. Right.
There you go. Well, Bill, I just want to thank you for joining me today. We'll have you back on again here this summer when we get out of the spring, and we got some fun things planned for this, for Irish Breakdown and CFB Nation. So I want to thank you for that, but you guys recorded today as well. I believe, did you guys record today?
We did. So, Bill and I broke down the ACC quarterback room and included Notre Dame in that. And we broke down the SEC quarterbacks as well. Pretty loaded, surprisingly loaded on the SEC side this year, loaded in air quotes. So check it out. And we talked a little bit about Jordan, and I was at the Women's Final Four last weekend. So we talked about Caitlin Clark and all that. So enjoy that. And
Brian, 4 million more viewers than the men's championship game. Never thought I would have heard that before.
When you see Caitlin Clark play in person, you can see why.
Yeah.
She's pretty incredible. So it was a lot of fun. And as always, I know our 15-minute discussions go 30, but you know what? Yes. I booked them double because I love talking to you.
I appreciate you, man. We'll have you back on again, Bill. Thanks so much. Tell Grant I said hello.
I will.
And we'll talk soon, man. Thanks for being on with me, Bill.
Thanks, Brian. Take care, man.
That was Bill Bender. I love Bill. Bill's my guy. Known Bill for a long time. So I got Bill on the channel at CFB Nation because we had actually met. I'm trying to remember the game that we actually met at, but really nice guy. And unlike a lot of other national reporters, very, very, just very open and very, just a real good dude. Coaches his son's basketball team as well. So we've had some fun conversations about that. But when I read that story, I was like, man, I got to get Bill on and talk about that. So I'm glad we were able to get him on so quickly and have him talk today. So we're gonna have part two of the show coming up here in a minute. We're going to preview Notre Dame's scrimmage that's coming up here soon and talk about that. But before we do, folks, do me a favor, hit that like button, hit the subscribe, hit the notification bell, share this podcast, not just sharing it, but also tell your other Notre Dame friends and family about it. Give us a 5-star review if you're listening via a podcast platform. And as always, make sure you are a member at boards.irishbreakdown.com. That is where you can support us unlike any other platform. That is the best way to support us, is to become a member at Irish Breakdown, the Champions Lounge at Irish Breakdown.